Hey, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. Om. Sarvesam api bhutanam Harir atma me atme swara priyaha Bhutar madhadbir swakritai Vitanam jiva samjitaha Sarve sam of all api certainly bhutanam living entities harihi the Lord who mitigates all the miseries of the living entity atma the original source of life, Ishvaraha, the complete controller, Priyaha, the dear, Bhutai, by the separated energies, the five material elements, Mahadbi, emanating from the total material energy, the Mahatattva, Swakritai, which are manifested by himself, Kritanam, created, Jiva Samgitaha, who is also known as the living entity, since the living entities are expansion of his marginal energy. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is the soul and the supersoul of all living entities. Every living entity is a manifestation of his energy in terms of the living soul and the material body. Therefore, the Lord is the most dear and he is the supreme controller. So what is the main point in the translation? Who knows? Yeah, but more specific. More specific. Okay. Anyone else? What other point is in there? He's most dear? Okay, great. Why is he most dear? He's everybody's? Well, yeah, everybody has a soul, but it's the, yeah, that's nice, but you need to say a few more words in relationship to that. He's everybody's soul in what sense? Yeah, he's most dear.
He's the most friendly.
Oh, yeah, he's, yeah, that's also there. He's everyone's well-wisher. We can use that term because it covers the whole gamut, and he's well wisher on all level, on all categories. Another thing that's part, he says, what is also added into this translation that is sometimes it's seen as material. Yeah, everything. Okay, in which two categories? He's in control of everything. But, okay, when you say that, then be more specific. In the categories of material and spiritual, and then specifically here, where is it what's mentioned here in relationship to those two categories? Yes.
He's the source of
okay, but the one thing he also mentioned, huh? Material body, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, the material body, we think, what do we think when we think of the body we have? What do we think?
I am
mine. Oh, that's one of the wrong ways to think. What's another way? My body, right, belongs to me, right? And sometimes we say that. Is that wrong to say this is my body? But what is the defect in that? Yeah, there's somebody who owns it. You know, it's when you say my body, you're just there for a little while. You have to give it up. Okay. So yeah, these bodies are so okay, and we'll go on to the purport, then we'll ask some more questions. Maharaj, I know you know everything. We want to give the other devotees a chance. So obviously by that connection, then you're in contact with the super soul. If you are, that's Krishna consciousness. Okay, but we want to see if the devotees can get them a little bit active here. I know you're a devotee too, and sometimes we don't understand that. We think there's sannyasis and then there's devotees. Yeah, Prabhupada's thinking, I'm a devotee too. He was about, then he said, no, Prabhupada, not you. I'm a devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested by his different energies. Okay, so what are the three energies? Okay, those are also energies, but let's talk about the three active energies that are in all. Oh, they're also that. Well, what three energies are being referred to here? And marginal. Internal, external, and marginal energies. And he is the source of all living entities in the material world and is situated in everyone's heart as the super soul. Although the living entity is the cause of his various types of bodies, the body is given by material nature according to the order of the Lord. Ishwar sarva bhutanam riddeshe jirnatishtati brahmayan sarva bhutanam yantra rudrari mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated on a machine made of material energy. The body is just like a machine, a car, in which the living entity is giving a chance to sit and move according to his desire. Good analogy, right? Practically the same. We have a car, we sit in it, and we move according to where we want to go with the car. So the body is given the same definition. The Lord is the original source of the material body and the soul, which is expanded by his marginal energy. Whoa. Okay, so now it says he is the original cause of the material body and the soul, which is expanded by his marginal energy. So does that sound right? He says he's also the expansion of the soul, which is, and then he says marginal energy. So what does that mean? Is that a mistake in the... Because the soul is not the marginal energy. What is it actually saying, though? That the soul inside the material body takes on the position of being marginal. But he's not marginal. Only when he's in the material body is he marginal. Okay. Yeah, that's what Bhagavatam is about, to confuse you. That's why we have to take these things apart and try to see what's being said here. Well, in spiritual life, In spiritual knowledge or spiritual philosophy, there can be two opposites and they both can be correct. Just like sometimes we say, there is the best, better, and bestest, or best, better, and even like that. All of the same categories. So when you say best, that means nothing higher, but then you say better. Better than the best, but how can something be better than the best when the best is the best? According to definition. But that's spiritual, what we say, nomenclature, like that. And it's like sometimes they say, well, this devotee is the greatest devotee. And sometimes they say, that devotee is the greatest devotee. So it's always correct, because in spiritual life there is no limit to how the words are used in context to what is being described. So, just like you can be wrong on one level and be right on the other level. Just like you might say, well, this is the material energy. But on another level, that's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because everything is ultimately spiritual. Krishna cannot produce anything material. But then again, we refer to this energy as material. So, is one right and one wrong, or both are wrong, or both right? Both are right, yeah. Okay, Maharaj. Alright, I'm glad you prefaced that nicely.
So the living entity is actually marginal eternally, because he can either be influenced by the material nature or by the spiritual nature, depending upon what he chooses. Mm-hmm. Although even when he's liberated, he's not considered to be Shakti Tattva, or the eternal spiritual energy. It never falls down. He's considered to be marginal because he has a tendency, if he chooses to choose to be a separated, so-called separated.
Yeah, that's okay, thank you. That's correct. Even in his liberated states. But how about when he goes back to the spiritual world? Is he still marginal? Okay.
What about those that never came? Well, there's two different kinds. The Shakti Tattva, which is like Mother Yashoda, Srimati Radharani, they never fall down. Even in the liberated state, if you go back, what's going on in the spiritual world, who fell down, who didn't fall down, I have no idea. So I can't really say, you know, how many souls in the spiritual world right now who could fall down.
But Krishna's eternal associates who are mentioned in, and of course those also mentioned, don't fall down. Like you mentioned, Mother Yashoda. The eternal associates can come to the material world, but they don't come in a fallen condition. They come for, you know, to assist the Lord in his pastimes. A little louder, please.
They are not jivas like us.
Yeah. Maharaj mentioned Shakti Tattva, yeah. Yeah. Eternal. They're in their own category. Okay, the last sentence. The Lord is the dearmost object of the living entities. Prahlad Maharaj therefore invited his friends, the sons of the demons, to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead again. Prabhupada uses the word again at the very end. In other words, he's making this point. What is the benefit of repetition? It's to make the point, right? Is spiritual philosophical teachings repetitive? You will allow some of the new guys to talk. Okay.
Prabhupada said that repetition is necessary to proper understanding.
Who could give an example of repetition? All right, just let anybody else, any of the ladies, who can give an example of repetition? Yeah, but okay, give an example of that repeating. What's that verse that we chant a lot, chanted by Lord Chaitanya? Okay. So Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, three times. So, this is a tough question, but I'll let you see if you can do it. When you say something once, what does that allow? When you say something twice, what does that allow? When you say something three times, what does that mean? In connection to this verse, Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. Okay, we have the scholar here. Okay. That's the answer, yeah. So not by karma, not by jnana, only by bhakti, and by bhakti by chanting Hare Krishna. So that's good to understand. Prabhupada also makes this point that repetition solidifies, or what we say, brings the point to an absolute principle. And he uses an example in a very ordinary way. He says, a mother might say something to the child who is somewhat, you know, disobedient. Do this, do this, do this. So three means do it. The child might not be able to get it until he hears it three times. So thrice, in Vedic principles of explanation means absolute, in the sense that there's no other consideration except the point that's being made, like that. Okay. Okay, so why is this example of a car the best, a very good example to describe the living entity within the material body? Give some of the points about that. Let's see, there's many points you can say in relationship to this. Whoa, we got a poet over there. That was really good. Write that down. What else? Okay. Yes, Mataji. Yeah. It's something that we go into and something we have to leave also, okay? We don't stay in the car. Some people sleep in their car, but that's not the standard. Okay, what's another principle that sort of aligns the car analogy with the body and the soul? Yeah. Great, great, nice point. If you use it correctly, it'll get you to your destination. And what is another principle of body and car? Yeah, well, just like when the body gets hurt, you might say, well, I'm hurt. Jai Sri Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. So Prabhupada uses the example that sometimes when you have an accident, you say, you hit me. No, I hit your car. No, you hit me. And you actually feel the pain of the car being hit in the sense that it causes an emotional crisis. You're smiling because you remember an accident? No. Yes.
It's like the car, the animal moves according to the desire of the So simply the body is moving according to the desires of the soul.
Yeah. Using what instruments to move it?
Mind intelligence.
Yeah, the mind intelligence and the senses. Yeah. Okay. What's another thing about that analogy? Which is a really simple point, but I just thought of it anyway. Yeah, you need to maintain it. Give it some, a body needs air, needs food, right? Needs, what else, water. So we need to maintain the car, oil, change the oil, you know, make sure the thing is running nicely. Repair it when it breaks down. Just like your car broke down, but now you repaired it, so now you're moving again. It's a car, it's a machine, that's all it is. Good, everybody's got a machine. So some of us have a Rolls Royce, some of us have a Fiat, some of us have a Volkswagen, some of us have an Audi, and some of us have a bicycle. So we all have some kind of vehicles to move around it. So this body may also be compared to different types of vehicles, you know. Sometimes you think, well, my vehicle's better than their vehicles. So my body's better than your body because I'm born in Slovenia. Or something similar to that. So we get also into the comparing our bodies, which is simply like comparing your cars. It's the same thing because, as we know, the car is something you use and not something you are in the same way. Okay. Let's see what other point is here. So in the car, sometimes there's a passenger and sometimes there's not. But what's the difference in the body? The car doesn't move if there's no driver, is that what you're saying?
No, the car, if there is no driver, stays the same. But the body, if there is no soul, it changes quickly.
Oh, it deteriorates. Yeah, okay, good. But another point, which is the one I'm thinking of. What's unique about the body in relationship to the analogy of the car, which is really in a unique and very beneficial point.
It's not alive.
It's not what?
Alive.
The car is not alive?
Yes.
Okay, that's true. These are all just, you know, dead parts. But there's another person in the car, in the car of the material body. Who's that? Oh, who's it? Yeah. What's his role? He's a backseat driver, isn't he? You know, you just... Well, he is the driver, but he gives you the wheel. He tells you which way to go, but you don't always listen. You wind up... Right? He's always like a backseat, just like sometimes your wife is sitting in the car and she's telling you, watch where you're going, look out! You should turn left there, you know. And or the guy in the back seat is saying, hey, don't you know how to drive, you know. And so, you know, but, you know, so Krishna's like that a little bit. But he's more sweeter than what happens in the car. But sometimes we don't hear him, or like we say most of the times, we don't hear him. And therefore, because we don't hear him, we have problems in which way to go. Or how to use the car in the best possible way, like that. Okay, so what is another principle here that's mentioned about the super soul's relationship with the individual soul? Prabhupada uses a particular word here towards the end of the purport. But I think it's also mentioned previously. What is the relationship? Well, of course we know the relationship, but what is the principle of the nature of that relationship between the soul and the super soul?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a kind of a broad question. What is it about the Lord's relationship to us, or our relationship to the Lord? Okay. He's always in the position of enjoying, and we're always in the position of enjoying through serving. So both of us, yeah.
Christians are well wishers, but he's trying to help us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's our problem. But here's another word that's somewhat similar to well-wisher. You're getting closer. That's mentioned. It's mentioned in the purport. The word is there.
It says it's dear.
Keep going. Dear. There's a lot of people who are dear, right? Well, there's another word attached to that word. Ah, there we go. Temple President Kijai. Okay. He's the dearmost person in the yatra, so he knows that. Okay, yes. The temple president is dearmost to all the devotees. And this is not just some statement. It's actually fact. At least from my position, I can relate to that. And so the Lord is not only dear, but he's dear most. There are people who are dear to you, but they're not always dear to you. That relationship of dear may change when you change the body. But the relationship between Krishna and the living entity is always there, so he's always the dear most friend of the living entity. When you know that, how does that make you feel when you know that Krishna is your dearmost friend, well-wisher? Well, how does that make you feel?
Peaceful.
Peaceful. Okay. Good. Yeah, that's very few people can attain that stage of peace. What else? Well, how does it make you feel?
Secure.
Secure. Peaceful. Secure. Nice. Yeah. Secure.
What else? Looking for him without end up.
He's there. He's always there. Oh, that means he's
Dear. We need him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we feel secure. We feel protected. We feel peaceful, right? But how does that make you feel? Just we're asking for individual, experiences. Okay, that's nice. Sometimes we think, oh, he's the dearmost, but sometimes I'm not reciprocating with him the way he's actually reciprocating with me. So that causes one to feel a little unhappy, but what does it do? It inspires one to want to do more, right? To want to change that. Good. Gadadhar, how does it make you feel? Nice, okay. Okay. It makes me feel like that I don't need anybody else. I guess that's a sannyas mood. But but we also need the association of devotees who are representatives of the dearmost. Some of us, anyway. Okay, these are some points. So any comments or questions to summarize this? So somebody, yes, okay.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. When I heard that soul who is marginal even in spiritual world, how I understand, he says that, does that mean that kind of soul who is... who have marginal potency in spiritual world also, that have possibility to fall down even again from spiritual world.
You mean falling down a second time?
Yes, when he come back to Krishna, that he can fall down again, yeah.
Well, in the eighth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I think 15th verse, Krishna says, once one returns to the spiritual world, he never comes back to this world of this miserable world of birth and death. So Krishna says that you don't come back, you fall once. But that doesn't change the fact that you still have your independence. So, but the thing is, the understanding is just like if you don't know fire burns, and then you put your hand in the fire and you get burnt, and you won't do it again because of the experience. So you're in full knowledge when you go back to the spiritual world of all your lives in this material world. It'll seem like a bad dream, that's all. That's what it'll seem like. And then you won't want to come back again. And you won't unless the Lord asks you to come and be his representative in his pastimes or for some mission like that.
But what should be understanding when we says that some particular soul is even in spiritual world marginal? What that mean?
Marginal? Well, means that we can go either way, to the spiritual or to material. You always are fully independent. Well, you're independent, but your independence is relegated to these two choices. You can either take up the spiritual or take to the spiritual and stay in the spiritual, or you can go outside of that. You're still spiritual, but you're in a state of consciousness which makes you think you're something different. That is called marginal. So the point is, the choice is always there. Yeah, like that. So Krishna Swarat, and we are also Swarat, but in a limited way. Swarat means independent. Our limitation is to choose between the material and the spiritual. But I can guarantee most souls don't come back once they go back. And that's why Krishna says it with such emphasis. They don't come back again to this miserable place of birth and death. Because they have attained the supreme destination.
Sorry, just quickly, how I understood all soul is predestined to come back to spiritual world later or sooner. Is that true?
Well,
there is no soul who is eternally material.
Somebody asked me that question yesterday when I was giving a virtual talk. Is everyone going to go back to Godhead eventually? Prabhupada was asked that question in... where was that? In Atlanta, Georgia. And so Prabhupada said... And then Prabhupada answered the question... Yes, but just like I'm coming in my car and you're walking and I'm saying, get into the car, I'll give you a ride to your destination. You think, no, I'll walk. So Prabhupada said, it'll take you 6,000 years to get to where you're going, but why not take the ride? The ride is bhakti or devotional service like that. So he seems to acknowledge that eventually all souls will eventually come back. But still, then we have another principle. The material world is also eternal. So as the souls go in, they also go out, they also come back in again. That was illustrated by Lord Chaitanya when he said that to, you know, Vasudev Das. That you're liberating the whole universe, that's wonderful, but, you know, this is only one universe. Yeah. But don't stick around. I mean, you might think, oh, you know, Ljubljana's pretty nice. But don't stick around. Prabhupada said, Kali Yuga will only get worse. It's already getting worse. We're seeing it now. The demons right now are really moving fast, trying to restrict everybody's freedom as fast as they can. They're really on an accelerated drive right now to control the whole world using this facade of this COVID virus. And they're coming up with all kinds of legislations to restrict people everywhere. So Kali Yuga is getting worse and worse and worse and worse like that. Prabhupada said, we have no problem with Maya. Maya is our friend. But because there's demons, she has to do her job. Like that. Yeah. Demons are the problems. Mayas, for devotees, they can understand Mayas. Just their friend in the sense that they help. She helps us become more Krishna conscious. Uragai, you had a question? Changed your mind, huh? Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.